Soul Station 2, Mobile Oak Graph.
With John 2.
Hey, I hope you're having a very good morning, John. Cell number 02.
Having a fantastic morning. We copy 02.
Sensation on 2 for BPA filter.
Good morning, Zena.
Good morning. Just following up, we didn't see anything obvious on the inlet filter. It's a little bit dusty since we did housekeeping on Saturday, so we're grabbing the cordless vacuum just to give it a quick little once-over. But any other suggestions or areas we can take a look at for you?
Checking. You know, we don't have any other suggestions beyond what you suggested with the vacuuming, but if we think of something, we'll let you know later.
Okay, copy. Let us know if the vacuuming helps. It really doesn't look that dusty, so I'll be surprised if this is the issue, but keep us posted. It helps.
We shall keep you posted.
Houston Station on 2 for WHC, field of view check.
Looks great, Zena. Thanks. Copy, thumbs up. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning.
Great to see you. Hey, Zena, while you're getting set up for WHC, one follow-up question on the BPA. Anything in the area that looks like it might have gotten stuck on the inlet but then was moved around by IMV? We did command BPA off overnight, which may have unstuck something from the BPA air inlet if something was indeed stuck.
I did not notice anything. Definitely always look around for stuff like random floating plastic bag. There's not anything currently obvious. The next location it usually travels are the IMV inlets that are in toilet.
Okay, we copy. We'll keep mulling it over.
Actually, there is one dust mask that's free-floating in the toilet stall. It wasn't stuck to the IMV. That's the only potential candidate that I see. I'll keep an eye out.
Okay, yeah, that dust mask might have been it.
My only thought is the dust mask probably came from the toilet stall, so it would be unlikely in my mind that it would exit and then return to the toilet stall, just because that's where we're keeping all the dust masks. So I think more likely that probably floated out when I was getting into the PPE kit this morning.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. Dust mask may not rove that much from the toilet bay.
Only in spirit.
All right, well, we'll keep thinking it over.
This is our station on Space Ground 2 for Prox Checker.
Go ahead, Kimia.
I have all indications, so I'm confirming I have a goal for step 6.1.
Checking.
You?
Kimia, your go to perform step 6.
I have a goal, thank you. Both ready commanded, both arm commanded.
Copy.
Arm is blinking, excuse is green. So I'm going to go to next step.
Copy.
Some commanded selecting OK. Now about arm is back to green. So I think everything went well. So PCS HDVX command panel checkout with Kanegashima complete.
Basic copies. Good work, Kimia.
Thank you very much for your support. It was very time critical, so I was a little bit worried about, but thank you very much for your support.
You did perfectly. Copy, okay.
And now all the lights went off, and that's actually expected, and stereo command path is green, and all expected. Thank you for your support.
Houston copies and concur expected.
Station on Space Ground 2 for ITCS inspection.
BNT, go ahead. おはようございます。本日もよろしくお願いします。
よろしくお願いします。I don't know that we don't have any KU right now, but I already set up camera for camera one for this activity. So if you guys are okay, I'm gonna start opening the panel, and once KU is back, we can work on this procedure together.
You can press Kimia.
Okay, understand. So I'm going to start ITCS inspection a little bit early, just opening the panels and wait for your KU.
Copy that.
First station on Space Ground 2 for ITCS loop check.
Back with you, Kimia. Go ahead.
Do you have a camera view of GM Camera 1?
We are getting... ready for that? No, yet. So could you stand by one, please?
Okay, understand. In advance, for the good news, I just checked three locations, and everything is dry, and no degradation, and no moisture. So far, everything looks good.
Sounds perfect. Thank you very much for your info.
Still, I can give you like a video tour for every location.
I'll do that. Thank you for the offering.
No problem.
Yeah, on to bank with you. We get the view, so we just start video tour.
Okay. I checked not only the installations in procedure, but also checked other installations in valves and also other lines. And everything looks nominal. No visible water, moisture, irrigation.
We copy and concur. And we complete the inspection on this location, so could you move on to the next?
Okay. Well, I'm going to move on to the aft one first. The installation was also dry, and everything looks nominal.
Okay, Kimi, on to complete the alpha one, aft one, so could you move on to the next one, final one?
Okay, understand. So forward one, please come back. Most installations, dry. No moisture, no water, everything looks normal.
Video on to Kimia, we complete the video view, video tour on the forward one. And when you close the access door in step 3.7, did you check the RSU flow sensor angle is in good config on the Foxworth 0?
Could you please the step number again?
Step 3.7, you're going to close the access door. And before that, could you double-check the RSU flow sensor angle is in good config, in good angle, which is located on the port 0?
Okay, understand. I'm going to make sure these locations and also arrows are good. So far, so good, but double-check. Thank you.
We copy that.
Houston Station Spacegram 2, step 6.1, looking for a go.
Copy, standby. Hey, Zena, we were just looking at the pre-treat tank R&R procedure. In figure 16, you may have already seen that there is a steel rule in the figure. We didn't call that out in the procedure for you to gather, so if you haven't done that yet, please go get the steel ruler from toolbox drawer 5 and configure per figure 16.
Okay, copy. Yeah, I think I must have missed that in the stone note, but I will go gather that. And BRB?
Was it your miss? It was our miss. It was not in the stone note.
Copy, no problem. Grabbing it, and I'll be right back.
Bus station on space ground 2 for installation check.
Go ahead. And 2.
I think this is it. So do you have any other requests? Otherwise, I'm going to close out this activity.
No requests. Thank you for asking. And the hard work.
Thank you very much for your support. And see you tomorrow then.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye. ありがとうございました。
こちらこそありがとうございました。お疲れ様です。
Checking. Thanks for the visual help, Zena. And thanks for installing that steel ruler. The purpose of it is to kind of measure flow rate. We do need it adjusted slightly. Where the words blue point are on the ruler, we need the hose kind of pulled down from the word, away from the edge of the ruler. We're checking. Okay, Zena, the ruler position looks great, but we do need a tiny camera adjustment. We need you to pitch up the camera to see more of the bend of the hose, but still keep the ruler portion in view. Checking. All right, Zena, we're happy with that view. Copy comes up, and you are go to continue in step 6, and once step 6 is complete, you can remove that steel ruler, then proceed with step 7.
Hey, copy. Proceeding with step 6, I will try really hard to stay out of the way of the camera. Sorry, I know it's struggling to focus here. I might go into... Copy. Once I've got the camera view back, I will proceed.
Okay, sounds good. And your idea for manual mode is definitely an option.
Houston, that was 4 doses. I now have pre-treat bag full.
Houston, copies 4.
Houston, on the color scale, we are around a 6.
Copy 6.
In Houston, step 6.6, 1 additional dose pump. I now have, again, the pre-treat bag full.
Houston, copies.
Can I proceed with step 6.8?
Checking. And Zeno, we would like you to repeat step 6.6 to perform individual doses until the pre-treat bad qual light stays clear for up to 14 doses. Please report how many doses you end up performing in step 6.6.
Copy. Thanks so much for the clarification.
My pleasure.
Okay, he said it's staying clear after 4 total doses in 6.6.
Copy. You are go to continue.
Copy. Thanks. So station on 2 for Melfi, step 2. Looking for your verification.
Hey, Zena, the brake machine has been powered down. You are go.
Up you go.
Station Houston on basic ground 2, for situational awareness, WHC is go for use.
Okay, go to go.
You read my mind.
So station on basic ground 2 for PWD.
Kimia, we're with you on 2 for PWD.
Actually, he experienced hot water not available because of the circuit breaker popped up. So we did reset the circuit breaker procedure 7.4.203, and now it went back to normal. Everything is fine.
Okay, we copy. You reset the PWD circuit breaker and you've recovered hot water. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So station on 2 for electronics unit.
Are we the on 2?
Hey, apologies, this is running long here. I am in step 12, and I'm having trouble getting the unit in far enough to get the threads to engage with the star handles. I'm worried something is misaligned, and I don't want to damage any of the blind mate connectors. Do you have any recommendations? My instinct would be to just pull it out and try again.
Copy. No worries. We will check. Station Huntsville, off space to ground 2 for Zena and Melfi.
Put down 2.
Hey, we like the idea of removing the unit and trying to reinstall it. One tip that might help is making sure that you rotate the star handles simultaneously to make sure that they're not binding. And if you need to, use a little more force on the install.
Okay, copy. Yeah, so I'm not even able to get it far enough in that the star handles, either one, will engage at all. And taking a look from the side, also the 8 fasteners on the cover are not close enough to start engaging in their threads. And when I try to pull it out from the drawer, is there a release mechanism somewhere that I'm going to need to touch? I'm meeting some resistance at kind of a halfway point.
Copy, all checking. There is a latch on the left side of the unit that you can press.
Found it.
Excellent. We're running into an LOS, but let us know if that works.
Copy, it works.
Station Huntsville on space to ground 2 for Zena and Melfi.
With you on 2.
Hey, we're just checking on a status if you were able to get that installed.
Negative. I'm still working on it here. My best guess is it's getting hung up on, there's like a long strip of hook Velcro that runs along the top of the unit. It seems like it's getting wedged. There's probably about an 1/8 inch of travel that still has to happen before any of the fasteners would be able to start engaging. May I remove the strip of hook?
Copy, and we're checking. Station Huntsville on space to ground 2 for Zena and Melfi.
Ground 2.
Is that Velcro just on the inside of the face of the electronic unit?
Yeah, so there's the face of the electronics unit, and then if you run your finger along the back side of that face, there's kind of a lip. And then perpendicular to the face is a long strip of Velcro that runs all the way across the top. And I can't really fathom why we would need it.
And it's there to prevent FOD, and the recommendation down here is just use a lot of force. It was designed to be really tight, so just use as much force as you can, and it should be able to give in.
Okay, copy. Spell station on two. Mike tried. He gave it a little running start, and that actually did the trick.
That is great news.
Agreed. With just kind of static force pushing on it, it was significant, but we pulled it out and gave it ramming speed, and it went.
Copy. We'll make a note of ramming speed.
Spell station on two for Murphy.
With you on two.
Hey, this guy does not like me today. Mike and I have both tried at this point, and fastener number 8 just doesn't want to engage at all. I've tried backing the others off, definitely paid attention to the order called out in 5.001. Just can't get any threads to engage at all. Wondering if we can leave this unit in place with 7 of 8 fasteners installed.
Copy, 1 stubborn fastener, checking. And Xena, back with you on 2. 7 of 8 is a good config, and thank you, Mike, for all your help. If you could help us with one more thing and do Xena's science taxi activity that is at 10:15, we would greatly appreciate it. This will help keep us on the timeline.
Absolutely. Science taxi in action.
Thank you, Mike.
Spell station on 2 for Melfi.
With you on 2.
Once I had the other 7 torqued, I gave number 8 another try and actually was able to get it to engage. So all 8 are now torqued. That, to me, would suggest that maybe some of the threads towards the tip of the shaft of fastener 8 are stripped.
And we copy.
And with that, in step 21... our electronic unit is finally complete, and the Brayton machine can be restarted.
Excellent. Sorry that was so much trouble, but glad we successfully got it installed.
Well, me too. This stuff is fun, and thanks for your flexibility on the timeline.
You're welcome.
And space taxi, power cycle is complete. LED 1 went back on, left the crew note.
Copy that, Mike. Thank you.
So I didn't have to use the force on this one.
Well, we do appreciate it when you use the force, but it's not always needed.
Control station 2, biomonitor question.
With you on 2.
So I finished my workout in my shower, and I kept the same biomonitor garment, and I've checked. Not happy with me. I've looked into the app, I've synced it, and it looks like oxygen saturation and blood pressure are the two sensors that are not working properly, and I've checked, rechecked connections, unplugged, replugged back in, and ensured the red sensor is indeed against my forehead. Wondering if you had any other troubleshooting steps. And I confirmed ECG, heart rate, respiration, so those are all good.
And, Johnny, can we get the identifiers of the garment you have on?
Serial number Sierra November X-ray 334409.
Copy. Thank you for that. And we are looking into more troubleshooting steps.
Copy. Thanks. I know you're all talking it, but I'm just kind of thinking maybe changing out the headband might be an easy troubleshooting step to see if that fixes the O2 saturation and the blood pressure. Because if I remember correctly, those two sensors are connected to the headband, not the torso.
And Johnny, we like that suggestion, so you can try it.
Okay, that didn't work. Soul station 2, biomonitor.
With you on 2.
From the biomonitor garment ending in 67 Charlie, that's for the barcode, ending in 67 Charlie, I grabbed the headband, barcode 00291-556 Charlie, and no joy. That is also giving me the same signature. So open to suggestions. I'm wondering if maybe a data unit swap out might be the next step.
Can we copy all? Can you give us the identifier of the headband that you originally had? And we are going to have to call the PD on this one, so we are checking on a solution.
That's the original headband that belongs to the garment I'm currently wearing. Barcode 0029-1557, Charlie.
We copy all. Thank you for that info, and we will call you back.
Considering changing out the headband did not solve the issue, I'm thinking I will wear the original headband and put when I got back to its garment. I'll copy.
We are good with that plan. Can you let us know the garment that you are putting that headband back to?
Garment ending in 67 Charlie from Barcode.
Copy. Thank you.
Welcome. So, Johnny 2 for more data.
With you on 2.
Some more contacts for the PI. The data unit was working. Everything was working nominally throughout the workout for both ARED and T2. And I guess, took off the headband for my shower. And then when I put it back on, that is when I was having the signature issues. So it has not been that long since we've had bad data, maybe 30 minutes at most.
That is good info.
Station 2, NMS shell swap, ISO question, rows 2.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Amy, just letting you know, the ZBUC ending in 79 or 7 November is not an F3.0 CTB ending in 5093. Luckily, Zena was around, and I asked her if she might know, and she backed me up. Didn't see it in there, but she did remember that she had a previous mix-up where 5093 and 5094 were swapped. So we looked in 5094, and it did have the Z-Bucks. So just letting you all know on this discrepancy, so future crews are aware. I think there's just some items between 93 and 94 that are being swapped.
Okay, copy. ISO's just walking in, so we'll relay that to her. Thanks for the report.
Welcome. And so, yeah, just to be crystal clear, we did find the ZBUC. It was just in 5094, not 5093.
Copy. ZBUC was in 5094. Thanks.
Station Huntsville on space to ground 2, Fort Johnny and biomonitor.
Matthew, go.
Hey, first to confirm a few things. It sounded like you were using the troubleshooting app. That's the biomonitor cheat sheet. Our suggestion would be adjusting the headband, making sure the sensor is over your right eye, and then waiting for 15 seconds and seeing if that tells you anything. And also, was there any vibration?
So, yeah, I've tried different spots on my forehead. I'll keep adjusting it and see if that fixes it. As far as vibrations on the data unit, yes, it was vibrating. I turned it off on silent mode, so I wouldn't burn the battery.
Copy the vibration. So have you pulled up the troubleshooting app?
The troubleshooting cue card? No, I have not. Can you remind me where that is?
Yes, if you look at your activity from yesterday, the wearable setup in step 4.1, it's the biomonitor app cheat sheet. And Johnny, while you're in the troubleshooting tab, it will help to take it off of silent mode while you're doing troubleshooting steps.
Well, Johnny, 2 for follow-up.
With you on 2.
I'll try and summarize everything that I've done so far. So I took it off silent mode, so now it's vibrating. And I have looked, I made sure it's paired. I've read the 6 pages of the troubleshooting guide. I did all the steps that were on there that were relevant to me. Nothing new that I noticed. I went to the troubleshooting tab in the app, and I clicked on the off-nominal sensor, and it gave me a few pages of steps, but they were basically what you told me is readjusting the headband, putting it over my right eye, and then seeing if it works. So at this point, I think I've exhausted all the troubleshooting steps, either in the manual or in the app. Other suggestions?
Okay, Johnny, copy all. Our next step would be performing a garment changeout.
Okay, copy. Before we do that, can we try switching out the data unit? Just because I think that is a low-hanging fruit that might solve our issue.
Johnny, we are checking on that. We're going to get you a serial number.
Great, thanks.
Johnny Huntsville back with you with the serial number.
Copy.
You can grab serial number ending in 4-4.
I'll grab the data unit ending in 4-4. I assume it's either in Juliet 4 or Juliet 6 on the biomonitor controller. And the sets, as far as steps, is just plug and play. Just remove my current one and then plug in the new one.
That is all correct.
Hey, copy. Thanks for the support. I do think changing the garment, like you suggested, is probably going to be the real fix, but I thought we'd start from easy to hard on the troubleshooting.
That strategy works for us.
So, Johnny, 2, biomonitor.
With you on 2.
Third, I'm going to grab the data unit ending in 4-4. The only two data units that are on the controller are the ones ending in 09 Charlie and 01 Charlie.
And, Johnny, we believe those are the barcodes. That would be the serial number. Should be 4-4.
Okay, my mistake. Thank you.
And the 4-4 barcode is the 01 Charlie.
Copy. Found it. Thank you. So, Johnny, 2, biomonitor.
Go ahead.
I have correctly put on the new data unit, synced it, and I have the same off-normal signature. Oxygen saturation and blood pressure are not showing up, and so I think your suggestion of changing biomonitor garments is the next best step. Do you have a preference on which one I grab?
You can grab any except the one ending in serial number 411.
I will grab any of them. Could you repeat the last numbers? You cut off a little bit.
411. Do not grab 411.
Copy. Will not grab 411. Thanks.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for airlock rack troubleshooting safing.
Right on 2.
Hey, Kimmy, I just want to let you know that we're commending some safing in advance of the airlock rack troubleshooting activities this afternoon, and that safing will turn off a light in the airlock. That is expected.
Okay, I understand. Thank you for the information and doing in that advance. Thank you.
Welcome.
So, Johnny, 2, biomonitor question.
We're with you, Johnny. What you got for us?
Hey, something chance. Which biomonitor data unit would you like me to use? For a data point, the one that I have been wearing had about 60% battery life.
And Johnny, you guessed right. Chance again. We don't have a preference. Just let us know which one you end up using.
Copy. I'll just go ahead and use the new one. Worry about a battery change out. And then the follow-up question is, what do you want me to do with the old one? Should I plug it in to start syncing? Just to be clear, the new one is the one ending in 144. That's the serial number 144 for biomonitor data unit.
All right. We copy serial number 144. That's good for us. And yeah, if you can just plug that back into the controller, and we'll work on trying to get some troubleshooting online to figure out what's going on with it.
Good work.
And Johnny Hansel back with you on 2.
Good chance.
It might be a little obvious to you, but just in case, since you are doing the changeout, we'd like you to re-perform both the changeout and the calibration activity that you just performed, your 11:30 and 11:55 purple activities.
Sure, I'll make sure that's done.
Copy that, Johnny. And since you do have your conference coming up, we are okay with you doing the calibration afterwards. You're not having to be late to that.
Well, thanks.
Station Houston on 2 for Johnny when able.
Houston, this is not Johnny. Looks like he's coming to say hi.
Houston, Johnny on 2. If this is for a biomonitor, I do have an update.
And appreciate it, Johnny. We'll take the update, but this is not for that, but I'll copy the update for that first.
Yeah, I guess for you in Huntsville, I was able to do the calibration. All the signatures are nominal and ready to copy what you have for me.
You did the calibration and all is nominal on the biomonitor. Thanks for passing that on. And then, yeah, just passing it on since I saw you're ahead on the timeline. Your 1500 activity for the visual field, if you can just wait to start that on time. We're just trying to close out some paperwork. So we're expecting that to go, but just don't start it early since you're ahead. And then since Spanky was hanging out near an ATU, you can let him know that the site safing is in place for their airlock rotation activity.
Love y'all, and thanks for working on the weekend, Grinder.
It's Wednesday, sir.
We miss you.
And station airlock on 2.
Go ahead on 2 for the airlock.
Hey, Grinder, Spanky here. Just want to say welcome aboard the airlock. We're Kimmy Hassan and I are looking forward to solving this dilemma today. We are just setting things up in the airlock. We copy, safing is done. We can see that the light is out. We are going to move the two suits, 3013 and 3015, off the ETAs. We found a very safe and nice place in Cygnus for them, so we're going to keep them temporarily there for an hour or two, and they're not anticipating any Cygnus ops during that time, so they should be nice and safe and no harm, no troubles. Welcome aboard the Node 1 camera.
All right, thanks for welcoming us on board, Spanky and Kimya. Happy to be working with you guys today. And copy 3013 and 3015 are the EMUs for steps 1.1.1, and you guys are going to stash them in the Cygnus for now, and we'll be coming on board shortly.
And total readback was good, except it's 3005.
All right, 3005, thank you.
And Houston airlock on 2.
Go ahead on 2, Spanky.
We're on step 2.2. We did remove the closeout panels on 2.1. There's going to be some fun putting them back, but they came off very gently and nicely. So the procedures hasn't let us down yet. In fact, it's just keeping us going great. 2.2, I'm supposed to check with you if TVIU-7 safing is in place.
Thanks for the update and words, Spanky. And yes, safing is in place for 2.2. You have a go to proceed. And then if you do happen to get into step 6.4 and 6.5 later on, we do have some clarifying information for that part of the procedure, but those are both if statements if you're troubleshooting, but just let us know if you have problems along the way.
Copy. 6. Station 2, visual field device, stow node question, row 7.
And go ahead on 2, Johnny.
Grinder, so for this device, ending in barcode 857 Juliet, I think you were missing this. I think, just for future reference, I think it's in CTP 1270, at least that's what IMS thinks, because it's not in the locker itself. And then looking into CTP 1270, just sure I couldn't grab any USB to Gigi adapter. I found two of them, but neither of them were the ones in the stow note. The one I have in my hand, barcode Papa Oscar Charlie, 24873 Juliet. Just wondering if I can use that. But if I have to use the one prescribed, that's also fine. I can keep looking.
And so copy in 1270, you found two, but neither of the ones match what was listed in the stone out. Copy the barcode you call down and give us just a second to check to see if that's okay to use. And, Johnny, Houston on 2, the serial number that's listed in the stone out is not a real not one anyway, so any adapter you found is fine to use.
Nice copy. I will use the adapter I found ending in 873 Juliet. Thanks for barcode.
Okay, copy the barcode number, and thanks for calling it down.
Station 2, am I going to begin the visual field device activity?
And Houston on 2, yeah, thanks for checking, Johnny. Yeah, you're go to do the visual field device.
And loosen. Houston airlock 2.
Go ahead on 2 from the airlock.
It looks like our initial plan just to rotate it has worked. We have made it to step number 5, so we have not removed the knee brace support brackets. We thought we'd just give it a try, and we were able to rotate this at least this far. I think you can see it on the camera. Kimmy Hassan is giving you some good. And so we're standing by for further words, and let us know if you need to see anything else. We have the world's best cameraman.
But thanking Kimmy, a nice work. Thanks for the video as well. Did you notice anything along the way that felt like binding or anything that you could detect as any interference that would have been the reason we weren't able to do this before?
It's really hard to say, Rajasam. We pulled on it, but I think what helped was it was floating on the bottom, and I think there might have been a little bit of up or down movement that allowed us to fully pull away. Johnny's here from before, so maybe he can give us a little bit of insight.
Ink Rainer, Johnny here. I don't probably have much to give. I wasn't on this activity last time. I just kind of came after the fact and tried to pull on it. So I am both very, very surprised and elated that that Kimia and Mike were able to get this out. It's pretty awesome.
Great. Well, that's great news. I mean, it might just be that the Air Force person was stronger than the Navy SEAL, which is totally fine. But I'm glad you guys were able to solve it.
Johnny did mention that the Air Force was on it last time. Raja, we're going to spring in the camera and show you there's a kind of a side panel here. And it's the same on the other side. It's kind of where my fingers are. And I think that lips met the lip of the metal. And that may have been a help in initially not having, because right when we felt it, much right where this lip inside the frame. Does that, can you see that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, we can see that. Thanks for the zoom in. And do you think any of the panels you removed were adding tension or load to that lip that you're pointing out, or is that independent?
Sir, you're reading my mind. I think it helped that we removed the panels that because everything was kind of a little bit of a tension fit, and I think that may have relaxed it enough that there was enough give on the metal part, maybe, that allowed for us easily to slide out.
Rainer, Johnny, one more thing. I don't remember the bottom restraint being free-floating like they obviously are now. I'm sure OSA's standing next to you, so maybe that was the case. I just don't particularly remember that. So if this is a unique fix for today, that may have also have helped.
Thanks for that info, Johnny. We're talking with OSA now. But we're happy with the results, so that's good news. And not sure if it's the panels or the fact that you were able to shift it up and down a bit, but regardless, it's good news that you were able to get the spherical bearings out and the rack freely rotated. We'll get back to you in just a second with some extra words, but expect them. We'll probably clean it up here shortly.
Yeah, a couple quick things for you, Grinder, while you guys build some time for a conversation. On the UOP that's above it, we are running into potential conflict with the data ports and the J3 and J4. We'd maybe like to disable them. I think they go to the laptops and then disconnect them. And then also we were thinking of maybe putting it all back, not put it back together, but rotate the rack back and then try to undo it again and see if we run into any more. But in the meantime, if you can give us permission or agreement that we're going to disconnect J3 and J4 from the UOP after turning the power off to the UOP, then that'll help.
Thank you, Mia. We'll get back to you in just a few minutes with the J3 and the J4 connections and the overall plan in terms of whether we want to explore putting it back in and taking it back out and just a way forward. But nice job getting ahead and giving us a good problem to work. And Spanky and Kimia, Houston on 2, just to clarify, those J3 and J4 connectors you're talking about, is that preventing you from pulling the rack out farther, or is it keeping you from putting the rack back in?
It is not keeping us from putting the rack back in, but it's getting close, and we respect cables up here, so we think it's just prudent to be able to put the rack back in without those cables there.
Okay, copy. Thanks for the clarification. Kimia, Houston on 2, if you're ready to copy.
It's copy.
Thanks for your patience. So we think it was probably the closeout panels, kind of like you were thinking, that was causing some extra tension that maybe gave earlier challenges to the rack rotation. With that in mind, we are going to still have you continue in step 5. and remove those brackets and just know we're not actually going to reinstall the brackets. So they're going to come out permanently, and we owe you a stow location for where that goes. But so you can continue doing that. In the meantime, we are looking at the steps to be able to disconnect J3 and J4 on the UOP. It's going to involve some graceful power downs and some safing, and we'll call that up once we have the steps for you. But you can continue into step 5, through the end of step 5, while we're doing that.
Okay. We can meet you on step 5.2. Step 5.1, I think we have a good report. And if it's really that much trouble for the UOP, we apologize. We were hoping that would be an easy one. We could manage it without. It was just more of a good idea as opposed to necessity. So your call on the gentle upstream things, we didn't really want to cause too much extra work. And we will start the 5.1 at this time. Correction, 5.2, we'll rotate the knee brace support.
Great, copy. We're following along on 5.2. And, yeah, we'll get you an answer on the J3, J4. Give me a no response required. You can continue working 5.2. Our preference for now is going to be, copy, strange look. It's going to be to leave J3 and J4 connected. But we do have a plan. So if you run into any interference or when you get to the point, if it's actually causing a problem, definitely let us know. And we can run through those steps. But like I said, you can run 5.2 to 5.4 and then start putting the rack back in.
Okay, 5.2 to 5.4. And we're going to have to rotate the rack down a little bit more. So we'll be extra careful because we know it's kind of fully disengaged at this time. That way we'll have extra access to the knee braces.
And Houston copies that plan. And similarly, if it's those cables are causing interference during step 5, just let us know and we can give you steps to power things down.
Copy. Yeah, Kimiya-san and I are often confused as twins. That's one of the running jokes, so glad you're in on it. And Houston airlock on 2 for a little more data.
And Houston standby ready, copy. Thank you, go ahead.
We're going to take a few pictures, but there's these extra side panels on the sides of the rack, and when I was rotating it down more, you could just hear them scrape along the metal bracket. So there's just super tight tolerances, and I think that may be what that may have contributed to our fun today or previously. And Kimiya-san will be showing these side panels. And there's a scraping area here, and then when I was rotating it, you can just hear it. And then there's a lower one, too, that definitely we heard. So just tight tolerances all around.
Okay, thanks for the excellent camera views. Do you see the same thing on the left side?
On the left side, we don't see any scratch marks, but it definitely has the same, it's symmetrical in terms of structure. The same two kind of side panels are there.
Great. Thanks for the pictures and description. That definitely helps us put the fuller picture together down here.
Houston airlock 2 with report.
Head on 2 from the airlock.
Yeah, well, because the rack was rotated, we were able to remove both knee brace support brackets. So on 5.2 and then in 5.3 was, it would be nice to be able to remove them, so we did, and we are done with 5.2, 5.3, and 5.4. We accounted for all bolts, nuts, and washers, as well as we have two knee brace support bracket plates in a Ziploc.
Spanky, just give us just a few seconds for next steps.
No worries.
All right, Spanky and Kimiya, thanks again for the great work. We still owe you a location for that hardware you removed. Nice job keeping track of all the non-captive fasteners, and you can make a necklace out of it or something if we can't think of something better to do with it. But for now, we're going to have you do step 8 in the procedure, which is basically rotating the rack back up. And then just big picture, we're just talking through some experimentation we want to do so that we can figure out if we have to do this again in the future, what the holdup was. So we don't want you to go into step 9 and 10 yet until we figure out a way to put it back together that helps us isolate the problem. But, you could go for step 8.
Hey, what are you guys thinking? We're going to go for step 8.
station. Houston on 2 for Johnny and the visual field setup question when able. Hey, Johnny, I just wanted to confirm, we weren't sure if you were complete with step 2.19 of the visual field setup, specifically if BME can start working the laptop prep.
Hey, Grinder, sorry, negative. I am working on securing it, just kind of doing a nice Velcro job to the bottom of the visual field device, and then I'll let you know when I'm ready for that.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, no worries. We just wanted to make sure we hadn't missed something.
Station 2 for visual field device. Again, Node 2 Cam 2 up. Currently on step 2.6.1. We'll let you know when the SST is set up.
Okay, thanks for the update, Johnny. Copy the Node 2 camera setup, and you're on 2.6.1. Thanks.
Houston Airlock 2 for update.
Go ahead on 2. Your ears must have been ringing. We were just talking about you.
Great. We successfully, we think it appears that the rack is fully rotated with both the lower and upper spherical bearings engaged as appropriate. We have, you know, for step 8, so it's just rotated. We haven't turned any bolts yet, but it looks like it's in good shape. It was a little bit different than the average rack rotation because we had the lower two pivot points disengaged, but we think we're aligned on all four corners. One other piece of information, it was there was definitely some minor to moderate rubbing on the right-hand side of the rack as the side panel was touching the metal rack frame. It didn't cause no damage or anything, but you can definitely hear there was a little friction. Over.
Spanky, and one of the things we were actually talking about is, are you able to isolate if there's specific points on that metal panel interface that are rubbing, or is it just like the whole length of it? If there are specific points, we were wondering if you can, if we can somehow label that with maybe Kapton tape or some kind of marking and a photo of it just for future reference, or if it's just more of a generalized entire line of contact between the two.
At this point, I think it's really more a generalized line of contact. There were some scratch marks on the upper panel side that's nearest to the front of the rack, but I think that was more initial scratches. Everywhere else, it's just a gentle rubbing, so no other scratch marks. We did take some pictures of the plates. Maybe that helps, but nothing really to that we think of marking with Kapton tape.
Next steps, we'll get back to you in just a second.
No worries, we're here at your convenience for sure. This is exciting.
And Airlocks Houston on 2, about to have a two-minute handover, but you are go to continue with steps 9 and 10, with one delta being that step 9 is just written for the right lower. You're repeat step 9 for the left lower as well. And you can temp stow that Ziploc bag of bracket pieces in the airlock for now. And Airlock Houston on 2, since we've got comm back, I think I walked you into a handover. I've got more words for you if you're ready.
And Houston Airlock, go ahead with words.
As I'm speaking, Kimmy, just to give you a big picture, so you guys, like I said, are go to continue the rest of the procedure, so closing out, so 9 through the end of the procedure. The one delta is, if you recall, the left lower launch restraint was not engaged when you first started. So when you do step 9 in the procedure, we'd like you to try repeating you do on the right lower with the left lower. However, we don't want you to use an excessive amount of force, so if you run into problems, it's somewhat expected that you may not be able to get the left lower engaged. If that's the case, then just move on. And then the other gotchas, if you are able to get the left lower engaged, it may over-constrain it. We may run into problems when you get to step 10, in which case we'd have you unengage it. So just to give you the full picture of what we're asking, as we're trying to do some troubleshooting for future work. So big picture, work 9 through the end, but expect you may have to call us if you run into issues, and don't overforce the left lower if you run into problems.
Okay, I have eyes on and copy all, and that makes sense. Small delta to your delta is that the locking bolt for the left lower is not there, so we have one for the right lower, of course, so we may be able to engage the left lower or not. Yeah, we'll see, but we would not be able to lock it. There's not a locking bolt. But we copy, and we'll start step 9 now, and we'll keep you informed, and we'll move the camera so you can watch.
Appreciate the flexibility, and thanks for the views.
Yeah, flexibility is the key to a lot of things, including space station.
Indeed.
This is patient 2, visual field device procedure step 2.19. I've completed the hardware setup. BME is now good at being a laptop rep.
Houston copies on 2. Thanks, Johnny.
Airlock with the question on step 9.3.
And go ahead on 2 from the airlock.
And so we removed the non-captive locking screw. We engaged to hard stop the right lower launch restraint. Then we disengaged it by 5 turns. And there's nothing that said what to do with the locking screw. We assumed to put it back in to hand snug.
Okay, Spanky, great question. And yeah, for now, just kind of hold on to it, and then you'll see down later in 10.7, you do reinstall that, but it's after you've put in the upper attachments.
Okay, fair enough. We'll keep it in a safe in a pocket. Right, and now that we've finished at 9.3 for the right side, just to make sure we're absolutely clear, we're going to try to do the same thing for the left side, starting with 9.1, or 9.2, actually.
That is correct, and we copied your words before that it does not actually have the locking screw. And airlock Houston on 2, just a reminder, no need to try to force that lower left one, so if it's not immediately going on, we can just skip it and move on to step 10.
You're reading our minds, sir. Yeah, no joy on the lower left, not even a turn, or even a quarter turn.
Thanks for trying, and I was not reading your mind. It was just smart people looking at your video. But going on to step 10, you guys are cleared 10 to the end.
Station 2, ISO question for NMS shell swap row 3 and 4.
And go ahead for step 3 and 4 of the NMS cell swap, Ronnie.
Hey, Griner, if you look at the barcode column for row 3 and 4, I think you'll notice there is a copy-paste error because both barcodes listed are the same. I'll go ahead and give you the barcodes that I have in my hand. I'm going to go back into that restore location, starting with row 3. The ZBook 1 terabyte ultra-gray hard drive barcode, Papa Oscar Charlie, 27502 Juliet, and the 1 terabyte hard drive is Papa Oscar Charlie, 27422 Juliet. How copy?
Okay, copy. Thanks for catching that. The first one, Papa Oscar Charlie 27502 Juliet, and then the other Papa Oscar Charlie 27422 Juliet. Thanks for calling those down.
Three back, and while I got you, the battery I'm stowing away that came from the old NMS laptop, Papa Oscar Charlie 24448 Juliet.
Okay, copy. On the old battery, you're stowing the Papa Oscar Charlie 24448 Juliet.
Great. From the airlock, step 10.6 is complete, and in the big picture, all of the attach mechanisms on the lower right and upper left and upper right are fully engaged for the procedure. No extra force or no anomalies noted. Kimmy is very good at finding the sweet spot.
Airlock, thanks, you too, and you are cleared to continue putting on the closeout panels and clean it up.
Would you like us to try the lower launch restraint again? The lower left one, I mean. At all? Or we're good with that one?
Thanks for the offer, Spanky and Kimmy. But yeah, for today, you can leave that alone. Then that way you can close out the activity for today. And if at some future point we want to come take another look at that, we can, but not for today.
Great, great. The rack looks really in good shape, and yeah, it's going to take us a little while to reinstall everything, but I think we got that, and congratulations to the team for putting together a smart plan that was successful. Congratulations.
Appreciate the effort on your guys' part as well, so thanks, and I won't do high fives until we actually have all the panels on.
The voice of experience. Yeah, sometimes flexibility is the key to space stations, and sometimes it's going to be a lot of fun.
Station 2, NMS laptop, update.
Head on 2 for NMS.
Writer, shell swap is complete, and I confirm there was a nominal boot up sequence, so grounded to go to configure NMS laptop.
Okay, copy. Thanks for the work, Johnny, and copy where we'll go to configure.
And Houston airlock on special ground 2.
Head on 2 for the airlock.
Yeah, we've had some very nice success getting these panels back on. We're on panel number number 4 from table 2, which is the airlock of 1 forward FD2 and F2 together. And we got all of the perimeters for these three at the top. We think that's okay, but we wanted to show you and make sure that you're on board with our idea.
Yeah, we're checking on that right now. So just the top 3 of the lower panel in the field of view there.
That's affirmative.
I'm talking about it right now. We'll get back to you.
There's really not any structure behind it. It's sorry, I just wanted to give you a little bit more. There's no structure behind it. There's maybe a connecting panel with the airlock 1 OS2 panel right above it, right where the J62 is, but we're unable to find it and engage it.
Great, thanks for the extra words. Do you happen to remember when you first disengaged it, if it was loose to begin with?
Sorry, we did not. We do not remember. It could have been, it could not have been, but in any case, the airlock 1 F2 panel is very secure. The main port where it secures the structure is on the metal side, the shiny metallic side on the left in your field of view, and those are all very nicely attached, as well as on the other side close to the airlock hatch. Those are also very nicely attached.
Great. Thanks for the extra description, and we're talking about it, and we'll get back to you as soon as we have an answer.
Roger that. We'll move on to panels 5 and 6, and we'll stand by for any more words on panel 4.
Great. We like that plan. Thanks. And Airlock Houston on 2 with plans for the fasteners.
Go ahead.
Again, Kimia, thanks for working extra time. So with the fact that you said the other perimeter fasteners are secure, we are good with the plan of leaving those 3 top fasteners loose. We would like you to secure them with Kapton tape, just so they're not a snag hazard and no one gets caught on them. And then also would like you to keep an eye out for the structural plate that was behind it. We suspect maybe came loose or floated away somewhere. So you don't have to go looking for it now, but if you could just kind of keep an eye out and let pass the word that if that does reappear, that would be where it goes, is on the back side of it.
Yeah, so I think I can help with the second part. The first part, we copy. Thank you, and we will put Kapton tape. I think the airlock 1 OF2 panel has a metal connector plate on it, so that is secure. I can reach it and touch it. We just can't find any of the holes to match up with it. If we were to decide to do future work on this, I would suggest maybe we please move the airlock 1 over whatever the OF2 panel where J62 is, and I think maybe we'd be able to work that panel to connect to this one and then connect the OF2 panel. So slightly different order than what we did. That's probably not something for today. We will definitely, so good news, we're not missing a panel, I don't think. Bad news is there might be a little bit of work in the future if we're not. In any case, we'll put caps on tape.
Thanks for the clarification and extra info. Yeah, we agree with that plan. Just secure it as you can, and then I appreciate the words, and that gives us an idea of how we could tackle it in the future when we want to set aside some time to reattach it.
Kimia-san is working on the last panel, and I'm going to tighten a few more bolts that we had to leave a little bit loose, and then we'll bring in the EDAs, the one EDA, and then the EMUs, and the airlock will be back in business with a rotating rack. So, again, great job, team.
Like I said, thanks for giving up some of your extra time and Siva's time, so definitely try to work that back in.
Just an airlock on 2.
Go ahead on 2 for the airlock.
Yes, hopefully you can see that we got the Kapton tape on the 3 fasteners we talked about. It turns out that there's a delta to that. There's 2 more right around the corner. I'll take some pictures and show them to you. They have Kapton tape on them now, but they're on the same line as the other 2. They're just around the corner. Kimia-san is finishing his last panel, which is airlock 1 overhead forward 0. And I think he's going to be able to get just all but maybe one of the bolts. And again, these are just very flexible, and they put a lot of stress on it by definition. But we're making good progress.
Great, thanks for the update. And copy 2 additional ones on the one you were working on before, so just to make sure I understand, that's 5 out of the 30, and then the one Kimmy is working on right now will be wanting to know the location of that fastener, if you could provide that once you've got it.
Absolutely. We'll Kapton tape it and photograph it, and it's Johnny Sana's volunteer to come and help too. And I'd like to give you a small clarification.
And go ahead with clarification.
Yeah, so of the 30 fasteners on the airlock 1 forward 2 panel, we got all but 4, and those are 4 on a line. The other one that we didn't get, the 5th one that I was talking about, really belongs to airlock 1 overhead forward 2. So that's the one that has the connector on it.
Been hand over, but copy 4 on the lower panel that you're looking at, and then 1 on the one right above it, which is airlock 1 overhead forward 2.
It's affirmative. And
airlock Houston on 2.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, we won't have video for a bit, but we are good for now with the 2 additional fasteners along that same line, the panel you were identified before where you put the Kapton tape. So thanks for the added info. We suspect we will be okay with the one that's missing that Kimmy is working on, but we'll wait for the final location photos. But for now, just proceed per your plan, and we'll let you know if that's not the case, so you can continue closing out and putting the EMUs back in.
Fantastic. We appreciate your patience, and we're absolutely doing our very best up here, too, and the airlock is going to look great.
We appreciate it, and again, thanks for working beyond the timeline to make this all put back together.
Houston airlock on 2.
And Houston's ready to copy Spanky from the airlock.
Kimmy Hassan and I are going to move over to our next activity. Johnny Hassan has kindly agreed to put the EMUs back. Ida is established back on the forward rack. And 3013 will go to the forward, 1005 will go to the aft, and Johnny is going to set that up for us. Kimmy Hassan and I will excuse ourselves from the airlock for a little while. We'll finish up cleanup a little bit later today. It's absolutely not an issue, and it's a pleasure solving a great mystery of the station with you today.
Well, thanks for your work trying to help put the pieces together and copy. Johnny's going to pick up putting the EDAs back and the EMUs 3012 to the forward, 005 to the aft, and then hopefully we will have a final location for those brackets that you took off. Suspecting they're going to go in the trash, but for now just keep them temp stowed in the Ziploc bag as before.
We can certainly do that, and we'll go on that. And as a final closeout for the panel, airlock 1 overhead forward 0, we got all fasteners except for 2 in the upper top corner. They are kind of behind the doors manifold, and just hard access and hard to find the place. So we took took pictures and put on tape over it. There is also, looks like there is a missing fastener that was never there for as far as our memory horizon. So it's not missing for us. It just may have been previously missing. That's also in the photos. But the airlock 1 overhead forward 0 panel is secure to the rack front or to the forward part of the section of the station, and also it matches nicely with its other panels, the blue panels on the side. So, in our non-professional opinion, it's in very good shape and is structurally sound.
Great, copy of that. Thank you. Airlock 1 overhead forward 0 installed, and you said the missing fasteners on the upper top corner near the doors manifold. And if you can let us know where you put the pictures, we'll take a look at those. Appreciate you putting the Kapton tape there, and then copy that there's also a missing fastener that appears to never have been there to begin with. But from what you can tell, seems securely attached to the station and the other panels. And like we said before, you can press with putting everything back. We will continue to look at it and let you know if there's an exception, but you guys can continue on the assumption for now that we are good with the fasteners as they are.
Fair enough, and we're happy to stand by at any time to redo any of these panels or make our ground friends happy.
We're always happy with your work, but appreciate the offer, and thanks again for going along. And Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Johnny when able.
Houston Station Johnny on 2, go ahead.
Johnny, thanks for cleaning up the airlock. I have a few notes for that, and then before I forget, you'll be on Space to Ground 4, which we're privatizing right now for your next event. But just to clean up on the airlock, one note, you don't have to do this if you want to do your other activity and then pass it on to Spanky and Kimmy when they're done, is those brackets they removed can go into JSV 5578, so they can get trashed in there. And that should be in the PMM end code. Again, that's 5578. And it was brackets they'd put in an airlock bag, or sorry, a Ziploc bag, the temp stowed. And then the other piece, if you could pass on to the rest of the crew, if they pointed out to you, so airlock panel overhead forward 2, that's the, if you're looking at the rack there we're working on, it's to the right and the upper side. It's the one with the J62 connector. Just based on the fasteners that didn't go back in, we just have, there's a concern about kick loads into that panel. So just a reminder not to put heavy loads into that airlock overhead forward 2 panel. Not that you would kick it, but just a reminder that you shouldn't put excessive forces into it.
Enter copy all 5578 is for the brackets, and we'll brief everyone not to kick overhead forward 2 panel. We'll also put a little nice note on there for future crew members.
All right, thanks. And Johnny Houston on 2 for one more go back question if you're still available.
Johnny 2, I had 2 punched off. Did you call for me?
I know you're jumping in the visual field, and you can just pass this on to Spanky or Kimmy if you don't know the answer. There was another camcorder in the airlock that they had disconnected as part of their rack rotation work, and we're just trying to figure out if it was reconnected yet or not. If you don't know the answer, we can find out after they're done.
I don't know the answer, but I can float over and tell you in 2 seconds. You're talking about the camcorder that lives in the airlock?
Yeah, the one that lives in the airlock.
I see my 1-2.
And Johnny, Houston on 2, if you're in the airlock, the connection point is on the rack side. It's a cable that's J1 camera port on the avionics rack. The forward side, forward port side on the rack they're working on. Yep, yeah, where you're pointing, but up.
What am I looking for again, Kreiner?
So from the airlock camcorder, there's the cable from that going into a J1 camera port on the avionics rack. They had disconnected it earlier to rotate the rack. We're just not sure if it's reconnected.
Okay, I found it. Am I go to connect?
Yep, you are go to connect.
Grinder, that's been connected. Want to give that a shot. Let me know how that works.
Great, thanks for your help. You can go back to the visual field test. We can take it from there.
Cool. Houston Station 2 with stowage comments on visual field device.
But on 2 for stowage comments, Johnny.
If you look at my activity for my 1825 activity, visual field device stowage, rows 2 through 7, if you indent those and make them under a parent item called visual field accessories bag, which is a Ziploc bag, then that Ziploc bag, I can actually get into the cushion of visual field device. So the bag can be nested under a cushion, row 1, and then rows 2 through 7 can be nested under that Ziploc bag. And I was able to make that work by removing, I think, an unnecessary piece of foam and replacing it with that accessories bag. I'm going to bring that to the lab camcorder so you can see what I'm talking about. At first, I'll show you the foam that I removed and would like to trash. And secondly, I'll open up the lid and show you where the bag lives.
Okay, copy. We see the foam. Copy. We see the Ziploc bag with items 2 through 7 in the place of where that piece of foam was. And appreciate the suggestion. So making items 2 through 7 a child of a Ziploc bag and then putting that Ziploc bag as a part of the row 1 visual field device cushion. We're talking about that now to make sure we can live without that foam.
Okay, copy. I think even without this piece of foam and without that bag, the device is perfectly protected. So this foam is a little redundant. But by replacing this foam with that bag, I think it makes a nice marriage between everything, keeps everything consolidated in a single place. And I'll stand by.
Another minute or two to QC that. And then since I've got you at an ATU,
If you recall, during the AIRED crew conference earlier today, you guys have reported that there's Ethernet cable damage on the backside. We'd like to eventually replace that, but we don't know what the actual part number and serial number of that part is to be able to look for replacements. So if you or someone has time to get us that information on that cable, that would help us.
Testing works. To station 2, AIRED Ethernet cable.
Go ahead on 2.
Name is ISL Ethernet cable 10 meters, serial number 005, barcode 000739 87 Juliet. Break. I think this might be a good candidate for doing a cut and crimp for a new connector if it's a standard Cat5 or Cat6 cable. Over.
Serial number 005 and the barcode 000739 87 Juliet, and copy the suggestion that it could be a good candidate for a cut and install the new cable. So we'll look at that as an option versus the replace.
Okay, good words. While we're on the topic, there's another Ethernet cable that keeps coming undone. If Pluto is listening, they'll know what I'm talking about. It's connected to PTLS lab, and I believe one end goes to PTLS and the other end goes to lab deck 2 in the nest of Ethernet ports. That also is a candidate for doing a cutting crimp for a new connector. Over.
And they heard you. So the Ethernet cable that goes from PTLS and lab 1 on one end and the other end to lab deck 2 of the bird's nest of other Ethernet cables, and that's another one for another candidate for a crimp, cut, and replace.
It works.
And Johnny Houston on Space Ground 2 for stowage comments when able.
Thank you. Send it.
Excellent form. I was hoping for some synchronization there, though. The foam, good suggestion on how we can consolidate that. We can't commit to actually throwing the foam out yet in case we need to fly that back. So could we put that foam into the 3.0 CTB that all those other things you put in the Ziploc bag came out of? Would it fit in there?
Will absolutely fit in there. Let me see if I can try and Tetris this in with the accessories bag. I'll promise that's a damn sure thing.
Okay, that would be even more fantastic. We like the idea. We just probably need a little more time than before DPC to commit to throwing the foam away. So however we can best keep it, whether it's in there or back in the 3.0 CDB, but we like the idea of the Ziploc bag and keeping that stuff together.
Reiner, in my opinion, you got to choose one or the other. Both the foam and the accessories bag will not fit into it. A copy, I will put the foam into the 3.0 CTV containing OCT, and I will return this visual field device foam with the accessories bag inside of it back into VMM.
Okay, yep, we're good with that plan. Yeah, and then, yep, we will track that piece of foam in that 3.0 CTV serial number 5052 in the event we need it for the future, but hopefully we can dispose of it as soon as we get the final word on it.
It's an airlock, too.
Go ahead on, too, from the airlock.
Yeah, just a quick follow-on. Copied your messages through Johnny. We have a small label on the airlock near the fasteners that are remain loose, warning us, asking us to be careful and not to kick that area. I think that'll work. I took a picture. If you don't like it, we'll make another one. Easy peasy. Also, the bracket that was holding K-bar, we will put it into the hardware JSB per the serial number you gave us. Just double checking if there's anything else. It looks like you guys got the lights back on in here, and other than that, I'll shut down the airlock if you don't have any other questions. If you do, please let us know.
Appreciate the update and follow us, Mackie, and yep, copy, you got the message not to kick the panel. Thanks for doing that, and trash from the brackets. And speaking of trash, you can pass the good news to Johnny that we have officially decided that foam brings us no joy. So you can also trash the foam that he had put in that 3.0 CTB from the visual field test. And copy, the lights are back on. That's as expected. And Johnny reconnected that camcorder cable. So everything should be set in the airlock. I appreciate your working there today.
Yeah, we do too. And what a nice success story. We can now have a full rack rotation. That capability back, so that was good, and good job to the team. I'll pass on the words to Johnny and start battening down or shutting out the lights in the airlock. Thank you. So, station on 2 from Columbus, perchance.
We're with you on 2, Mike. About 2 minutes till a handover. What you got for us?
I'm here to answer your questions about the, I think it was the light ions detector and Altea.
Affirm. Did you see any debris or anything on the vents of the payload?
I'm still looking, and I am not seeing anything, but I'm going to stick my head in there. We have it kind of blocked off with some tape, and for the previous things, it bothers it. And I am seeing nothing that that's close to it. What I can say is that that one of the we have a 120 volt inverters. One of those it was normal. It's normally Velcro to deck one. It kind of came on loose. It came loose and it kind of floated over near the Altea. And it is warm. So I bet if I move that out of the way, the temperature should go down.
Thank you for that report, Mike. That's excellent news and a good data point to have as well. It's nominally on deck one. Yeah, we don't mind it going back to its nominal position. Again, the payload is currently powered OFF off. We're planning to discuss things with the PD team a bit more before we power it back on. But if you can do that for us, we'd appreciate that config.
Sir, it is DUN done. And let us know how that works out. And the temperatures hopefully now should trend down. And you guys will be in good shape.
Wilco, Mike, thanks for all the great help, and have a great night.
Sue, really appreciate working with you today, and welcome.